Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Recently, we had the chance to chat with Senator Scott Jensen. He's a Republican out of Chaska for the first time. We were talking about medical marijuana and a vote in a committee and where he stood and where it might go. I was drawn to the Senate again. I saw this story yesterday in City Pages on insulin. And insulin has been discussed an awful lot locally and nationally. Shortages, costs, availability, and with the rise in diabetes across this country. And I think people know the name Alex Smith now, and it's sad that we know it for this reason. It was 2 years ago. Smith's 26, lives in Minneapolis with diabetes, was forced off his mother's health insurance shortly after his birthday, died less than a month later without insurance. His insulin had an out-of-pocket cost of over $1,300. So now we have something called the Alex Smith Emergency Insulin Bill, and it was inspired by this story. So let's bring Scott Jensen, who is a doctor himself, who's taken some time out of his practice today to talk to us. So, Scott, I really appreciate it. Tell me why you were so drawn to this particular story and this particular cause.
Well, in actuality, I had been working on a bill to get at this kind of thing for the last 9 months. It came out of the Senate Select Committee on Healthcare Consumer Access and Affordability, and I was actually out in Washington, D.C., presenting it to the National Governors Association, and it was a prescription drug affordability commission bill. And I worked pretty hard to sort of set the table with that, but I've not been able to get a hearing on that bill. And so when Senators Wicklund and Little came to me and said, you know, we've got this critical insulin issue, and Senator Little had gone ahead and put together a community open forum, and lots of people attended. Then there was another day at the Capitol where people concerned about the insulin crisis because of cost and unavailability to people who couldn't afford it. So when he came to me, it was a natural, yeah, this is critical. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's just one piece of the puzzle, because we've got other drugs that are similar, you know, like Humira and a variety of, if you will, specialty biologic drugs that are exorbitant costs. I've got a constituent in my district who's got an 11-year-old child who a recent drug came on the market that can help her walk for the first time in her life, potentially, and they priced it at $750,000 a year, $125,000 every injection.
Oh.
And, you know, at some level, you wonder if this is unconscionable.
Yeah, so can I just answer that? Yeah, it is, when it's that amount of money, right?
Well, you know, and I agree with you, Chad, and this is one of my frustrations with the legislative process, is sometimes we become so ideologically framed up that when something like this stares us right in the face, we're still working within constraints that we always thought we would stay working in. I mean, yeah, I get it. Regulation seems to argue against the free marketplace, but at some point in time, regulation is necessary at some level. We've done that with public utilities.
Sure.
We didn't. What would stop the utility companies from doubling our electrical costs tomorrow? So sometimes a little regulation goes a long ways, and I think we need to regulate pharmaceuticals. That's what Canada does. Canada puts ceiling prices or rate setting for new release drugs and things like that. They've got a commission that they've empowered to have some teeth. But I've had trouble getting that. I've not gotten a hearing on that. So when the insulin bill came through, I thought, well, this is just one piece of the puzzle, but it's so critical. I'll do whatever I can to get any one of these across the goal line. So I signed up.
So let's just talk about the insulin part, and then let's get to the bigger part, because the insulin part does resonate, including resonates with somebody very important in my life. The goal of this bill, I'm reading from the City Pages story, is set up an emergency fund for diabetes patients managed by the Minnesota Department of Human Services and funded by fees on insulin manufacturers. Once a year, patients could tap into the fund if they needed help paying for life-saving medicine. Are you okay with the way it's explained in that manner, and is that an accurate explanation of it?
Yes and yes.
Okay. Do you believe that too many people in your party, Republicans, who philosophically believe in the market, believe in enterprise, believe in a bit of a supply and demand, and at times can be very, very reluctant on government control, especially in medicine, are being just too dogmatic on where they stand on this issue?
No, I don't think that's fair, Chad. I think it's more like this. We've got 35 Republican senators. Many of them are not even aware of my bill that hasn't gotten a hearing, Senator Wicklund's bill, which hasn't gotten a hearing. They're waiting for things to drift through the committees, and then they would hear about it. But if you look at the committee chairs, what happens is they get a ton of bills coming down the pike. I almost sort of think of it like spring baseball, where the Twins have 75 players coming out, and the manager's got to sift through them and say, okay, you know, which ones of these players are going to stick? And I think that the chairs do the same thing. They have hundreds and hundreds of bills. And I think one thing Senator Wicklund may not be aware of is in the HHS area, Senator Benson has been working with Senator Rosen on a bill that has quite a bit of similarity, really blowing open the doors of transparency in regards to the insulin costs. Why are pharmaceutical companies charging this much, this much, this much? And so I actually spoke with Senator Rosen yesterday and said, have you thought about taking some of Senator Wicklund's bill, the portions that you maybe don't have, and putting it into your bill? Because Senator Rosen's bill is still early in the process of moving forward. And she said, yeah, I would look at that. So I'm going to suspect that over the next 48 to 72 hours, Senator Rosen will be talking with Senator Benson saying, you know, my bill does this. It doesn't go as far as Jensen's bill, and that's why Jensen's bill goes maybe a little further than people are comfortable with, or maybe Rosen's bill was first in the hopper. I don't know that. But we could certainly take this insulin bill and take these pieces that you've already mentioned, you know, sort of having an emergency stash available. And it seems to me that that would be something where they would be germane. We'd be doing the same thing. And so I think it's a little bit more complicated than, you know, the Republicans not knowing about,
okay,
or the Republicans not willing to go along with regulation. I think that we're, you know, we do look at that, but certainly as a philosophical thing, Republicans generally avoid regulation as the first way to solve a problem.
Senator and Dr. Scott Jensen from Chaska is kind enough to join us. We're talking about an insulin bill and in the broader sense, talking about costs. Let's talk about the bigger issue where it's all these different drugs. And insulin clearly is in that group. And you name it. It could be the President of the United States. It could be the Speaker of the House. It could be politicians in all 50 states. I believe them genuinely. And also there's a political component to this because who is happy in this country with the cost of the drugs we pay? I mean, the companies, apparently, they're happy. And it hits some people much harder than it does others. Do you think in Minnesota we can pass a bill which will garner enough support to pass and that the governor will get on board that we will see costs drop down in some way where it benefits us and it does not hurt companies, pharmaceutical companies, when they're still trying to explore what can be the prohibitive costs of new drugs, which can help us out in the short and long term?
I think the solution is out there. And I think part of it is the pharmaceutical manufacturers. But I think I'm going to put some of this on the pharmacy benefit managers, on the health insurance carriers,
yep,
and on physicians. Cheaper insulin is available out there. But we have to, and we have to work with our pharmacists, and we have to go get it. I don't know if you remember the days where we used to have NPH insulin, and we had regular insulin. So those two things we'd combine to take care of a diabetic's needs during the day, NPH being longer acting, the regular being shorter acting. But those have been replaced by more expensive insulins. Well, then we'll just take one of them called Lantus. Well, Lantus is now close to expiring on its patent. And so you'd expect a generic or a biosimilar to come out and start lowering the cost. But as soon as these insulins become to a point where they could be cheaper, they sort of get thrown under the bus, and they're not good enough. And so then we go to the next new one, and the next new one may well be something like, well, the Toujeo, T-O-U-J-E-O. And all they've done is maybe change the concentration. In Toujeo, what they do is put 200 units per cc instead of 100. And otherwise, it's the same molecule. At that point in time, the price goes up again. We need to say, listen, not everybody has to have BMW insulin.
Yep.
Folks just want to have reasonably priced insulin. So let's find out.
But can I just to make sure I'm getting this right, you think there is a way where everybody doesn't have the highest price insulin, but is it every bit as effective as the cost going up? Because I'm looking, you know, late today, you know, after we even scheduled the interview with you, USA Today with a story talking about the cost here. The price of the modern versions of the drug insulin that more than 7 million Americans need to live has tripled from 2002 to 2013 in one study. So if I'm someone who is dealing with those type of costs and I don't pay for the highest end insulin, but I'm treating, you know, my stepson, he's going to be fine?
You said, you made some comment about the highest quality.
Yep.
I think that might be a sticking point. I think you're going to hear the drug manufacturers tell you, listen, this is an upgrade. And if everybody insists on having the upgrade, then we're going to see the price escalation the way we have. When I take a drug, I take the generic. I had an ear infection last week. I took the generic drug.
Okay.
I don't think most of my patients care about whether or not they have the latest and greatest. They just want something that they can consistently access and consistently use, because say they're taking an insulin that doesn't have 95% availability, bioavailability. Maybe it only has 85%, but it doesn't matter as long as they consistently take the same kind of insulin, because they can monitor their sugars and they say, this works. And I called a couple pharmacies. I called Walgreens. I said, if I want NPH insulin, can I get it? And how much could I get it for? And they said, well, it's only a present in vials, so it's not a pen. It's not as easy, but it's available in vials, and we could get it for about $100-$125 for
why,
a month.
Why isn't it available in the easiest way for people to take it?
It's more expensive to make.
Yep.
And
so that's tied to the cost.
Yep, it is. So when they make it in a pen, they're charging, well, just like the EpiPen. There's an EpiPen out there that costs $4,000, but when you open the pack and get it going, it has batteries in it, and it has voice instructions, just like an AED.
Yeah.
And so whenever they can market in something fancier than the last time, they charge through the nose for it. But if, you know, for 25 years in medicine, I took care of diabetics and never used an insulin pen. I always had my patients drawing it up from a vial, and they did fine. And if we went back to that in some of the situations, we could conceivably get insulin for less than $100 a month. But we all have to work together. And if we did that, then we'd be driving these pharmaceutical manufacturers to start reconsidering how they're pricing. But to get back to your point earlier, Chad, do I think what Senator Wicklund's trying to do in her bill could be accomplished? Yeah, I think if the motivation were there, we could get it done. But if the motivation's not going to be there for both parties, both houses, the governor to come together and tell the pharmaceutical manufacturers, we are not going to let you undercut our efforts, because there's no question, when the pharmaceutical companies come against you, you know you're in for a battle.
I'm just going to read two last texts. Again, Dr. and State Senator Scott Jensen is with us talking about insulin, a bill that's out there, and then other bills that maybe they can work in tandem and come together with the best bill. Here's two texts, sir. Just tuned in, Chad. Was quoted over $1,000 for insulin. It is a scandal to the highest degree. Another text, the insulin issue is just the tip of the iceberg. I lost a son because of his inability to afford anti-rejection drugs post-transplant. The issue is deep and far-reaching. Our sympathies to Mike. Great sympathies. I just, you know, can't imagine life and having something like that in my life. When you hear those texts, what strikes you?
We got to get it done. And I think the second text that you quoted, Chad, that whoever that person was is spot on. Insulin is just the tip of the iceberg. You know, she mentions an anti-rejection drug. We're going to see a lot of therapies come out that are CAR T cell therapies for a variety of cancers and things like that. And that's going to be really expensive where we use our own immune system. And we just have to get something in place that says we're not going to let the drug manufacturers literally rape and pillage our budget. Because when we spend that much money on just a very, very small group of drugs and other countries are paying a fourth of it, I mean, don't we look like suckers?
Yes, I agree with you 100%. I just want to see it happen, sir. Right.
Well, and I do too, and I'm criticized with some frequency at the Capitol because I'm not known as the most patient individual. I had a 77-year-old farmer in today, and he looked at me and he said, "You know, Doc, I got to tell you," he said, "I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. I just want you to go down there, discuss the issues, and get the job done, for heaven's sakes." That's what people want.
I agree with you. Sir, it's always a pleasure. We'll reach out again soon.
Chad, have a great day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.